When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
When I was still a virgin, I was messing around with him in his fraternity house. And this guy, Bob, I went all the way. And then I'm like, you know what? We can't have sex. And he was getting so angry. I'm like, listen, I'm a virgin. And he said to me, you know what? It's a good thing you told me that. Otherwise, I probably would have raped you. He said that to me.
Oh my God.
Wow. He would have raped me if I hadn't told him I was a virgin.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom.
Wait, why are you doing that again?
I'm doing it. Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom.
No, why are you making the weird sounds and...
You just said it was too repetitive, so we have to spice it up. Do you remember when you went into a really low, slow, dark voice? Yes.
Okay, are you doing that shit again?
No, I'm doing the announcer voice. Can we just skip past the name of the show?
Okay, go ahead.
It's Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom.
Yeah?
I said it.
And you?
Oh, just introduce yourself, mother.
I'm Karen Lee Potter.
I'm Cam Potter.
And we are Sex Talk with my mom.
Jesus Christ. My mother is a self-proclaimed sex expert, cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
My son, as you know, is a stand-up comic, a mime, and a Buddhist clown.
Together, we chat about sex twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays.
For a lot of reasons.
Why is it, mother?
Mostly to give you guys a little chuckle.
A chuckle?
No, and also to just break down those barriers of what people talk about.
Also, to enhance your pleasure and also decrease the shame around sex.
That's right, and today is no exception.
Today we have Christine Blackburn on the show. She is the host of Storyworthy, a podcast where my mother went on and told a story all about her
second time losing my virginity.
Yep. She also hosts Story Smash, which is a monthly show at the Improv in Hollywood.
Christine Blackburn has been a TV commercial actress, a flight attendant, a Peace Corps volunteer, and a published author. She's a cancer survivor. This girl's done it all.
She's got stories, people. And we get into them. I mean, it's her life is unbelievable. And it's rare that we get someone over the age of 30 on our show. And she is over the age of 30, so she's got life experience to pull from.
It's so comforting to me to hear her bring up Peter Frampton.
My mother wanted so badly to be friends with her.
I am friends with her now.
She's friends with her now.
I just went out with her, actually, after the recording, and we had such a fun time.
Yeah, as I'm working, what are you doing?
Going to MedMen.
AKA the weed shop. Buying weed.
I did it for my dad.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fair.
The point is that she and I, it's so comforting because I feel like being with someone my generation, it's so nice to have someone who can relate to the songs and the type of feeling it was being in growing up when we did.
You're just trying to go back to those days.
It's so weird when you say things like I can say you asked me who Donovan was, for example.
Yeah.
And I think I know Jennifer, Juniper.
Yeah, Yeah.
I think I was in grammar school when I heard that song.
Well, I'm getting into him now.
Yeah, you are from my generation, or probably earlier. You're like my dad's generation.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you like that old time music.
Mom, he's from the 60s, no. Donovan.
Donovan is from the 60s. Yeah, that was even before me.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Can we get back on track?
Okay, so the thing that was so great about being with my Christine Blackburn all day long is that she's in the business. She's in the biz. She does Storyworthy.
She's a comedian.
She's doing stand-up later. She just does some...
She does one-woman shows.
Yeah, she's got balls.
She does have balls. And she performs at my theater. I probably perform at her theater because she's been doing it a long time.
The Lyric Hyperion in L.A. Anyway, so... a bunch of clowns go over there. Check it out. See Cam there.
All right.
Anyway, the thing that was really cool at Mad Men is that when I was checking out, some guy walks up to me, says he's the manager, and he recognized me from my YouTube channel.
I'm sure you got a freaking ego boner on that one.
I did. It was like, oh, you're Karen Lee? I go, yeah. How do you know? You're a fan? He's like, yeah, I know you from your YouTube channel.
Oh,
and I
God,
go,
this is all
oh,
you need.
Were you searching for cougars by any chance? And he goes, yes.
Oh, my fuck. Did you ask him if he can give you a discount?
You know what? That's next time.
Oh, my God. I knew it. I knew it. All right. Anyway, I wanted to just
hey,
so, our
so
list, what?
I wanted to tell you what happened after that. So okay. I got so up in my head and hyper about that. Plus, I had a cup and a half of coffee before this whole thing happened. That when I got to, we went to get some chicken shawarma. I got there. I'm ordering for you since I'm a nice mom.
Yeah.
And I asked him about, is it white meat or dark meat in the chicken shawarma? And he says it's a mix. So I ordered number seven. I look up. I see, I don't know, different types of shawarma sandwiches. I said, order number seven. I'm halfway through the eating it, and I'm like, this doesn't taste great. It doesn't, and I keep looking. I'm like, it looks like it gave me all dark meat, and I only like white meat, but I was willing to do it for the shawarma. I realize I'm eating beef. Me. I haven't eaten meat in 30, 40 years.
Oh, my God.
I was not happy about that.
There are a lot of innuendos going on here that people are probably thinking about.
I haven't eaten cooked meat in that many years.
What did it taste like to you?
I didn't like it.
So when did you
eating it anyway. I was going to go, look, don't we need some spice on this or something? It tasted like dark meat chicken.
Oh, wow.
Everything tastes like chicken. It tastes like dark meat chicken. And I was not happy. So I went up to the counter. I'm like, what the hell? And he goes, well, you asked for two number sevens. I'm like, well, I didn't realize number seven was meat. When I asked for the mixture of dark and white, I didn't want you to just tell me meat in general. Anyway, that was my big to do.
Did you smoke at the weed shop?
No, that's the irony. I wish I had that to blame. No, wow. It was just me being...
This is you being you.
Me being reverse starstruck.
Speaking of patterns that we set for ourselves.
Yes.
This episode, we get into patterns. Yes. Relationship patterns, sexual patterns.
Yep.
And, you know, Christine tells us a few stories that have similar tone. That have... Or not tone. They have similar, events that occur.
I think what you're trying to say is that stuff that has happened in her childhood, her fear, her father abandoned her and her five siblings.
Okay, what are you giving away? What are you giving away, the whole fucking thing?
Things like that.
History repeats itself.
Yeah, and her choices were based on those feelings and trying to fix those feelings. So I think that's what you're going to find fascinating here.
Do you find it? You fall into any relationship patterns? Like you search for a specific guy to.
I think my patterns are all over the board.
No, I don't think so.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you.
I'm attracted to someone who likes to take risks. That I agree with.
That's right.
But like as far as being an introvert, like your father was an introvert. Your D's is an extrovert.
You also are attracted to guys that adore you, as you've noted.
I do like to be adored.
So there's a little pattern going on.
There's
here.
A pattern, and it comes from my dad who adores me.
Oh,
who I bought stuff for at the Mad Men.
Maybe so, this is why he adores you. Buy him weed.
But she was abandoned by her father, but then reconciled and became close with him again. So you're going to hear about this, and it's just a good story. She tells a story that you're like sitting at your edge of your chair, like going, God, I want to hear
right.
more.
You're going to make them want to. One thing that we talked about in this episode was rape. We don't talk about it often on the show, at least not often enough, because it seems to be still a big problem in our society.
Still, it's like one in three, I think.
And so we get into it in this episode. We're not afraid of covering it, especially with Christine there.
She opens up.
She opens up, and she also brings a little levity to the situation.
It's a very upsetting story.
But end up talking about
light. We can bring it up to lightness.
We talk about prevention, dealing with the trauma afterwards,
and then picking partners. They keep replicating this stuff.
Yes. So anyway, this is a psychological thriller, if you will.
Yes. Emotional trauma, physical trauma. And what we'd like to ask you guys, if you remember later on, to go ahead and yes, text mamas on this question.
They don't know what that means, mom.
All right. Will you explain what it means?
Yes, text mom is our phone number. You can leave us a text or leave us a voicemail. with regard to this question.
And we read the responses and questions
on the Monday morning after show.
Yes, on Mondays. Yeah. So if you guys want to know what MAS means, it's morning after show. Anyway, this question came out of our discussion with Christine Blackburn. And the question is, have you ever been cheated on? And how did you find out?
Oh, I would love to hear. By the way, if you want to hear that story, make sure to go to patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom because we end up spending another 20 minutes with Christine after this interview where we're all lubed up and ready to talk.
And when people hear lubed up...
No one thinks that we're all actually lubed up.
Oh, well, lubrication in terms of being ready
we're
to
open.
Go. We're all ready to go
in
verbally.
In terms of conversation, yes. We got to a place where we were open, and she shares with us how she came back together with her father later in life, where the forgiveness comes from.
Well, and she talked about being cheated on by one of her first husband.
So you got to check this out, patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
It's really a good story. She tells an amazing story. She teaches people how to tell stories.
Of course, that's a big part of the episode.
That's what
this
I
episode.
Really liked.
Yes.
You know, everybody at some point or another has to tell a story. If you're on a date or if you're at work.
Even if you're married, you got to tell some stories.
Exactly. And she literally goes through, and this is like the best lesson you can get on how you can tell a story. She goes through step by step how to tell a story.
I love that. That kind of came out of nowhere, in my opinion. But
it came out of nowhere because I flat out asked her to give us a
demonstration.
Well,
of course, you asked. So anyway, I thought this is a phenomenal little lesson. I was very grateful that she gave it to us.
I was very grateful.
You know what else I'm grateful for?
You?
Yeah, I'm grateful for myself. Yes. No, I'm grateful. You want me to say you?
Yes.
You. I'm very grateful for you.
Well, it's almost Mother's Day. I thought you were going to say I'm grateful for you.
Mom, it already, by the time this airs, it's going to be Mother's Day.
Oh, good point. Good point. Okay.
All right. I'm grateful for our wonderful, not a Patreon community, but also the people who have left us iTunes reviews.
Oh, I'm grateful for that as well, because those reviews are like gold to us.
Well, guess what? I want to read one from a very special someone.
Okay.
This one says, awesome show, 5 stars, by Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackman?
Hugh Jackson.
Oh, I wish it was Hugh Jackman.
There is a great chemistry with the mother and son team. Keep the laughs and information coming, and as always, put Pop Rocks wherever you need to yours too.
Oh,
yours
no.
Truly, Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean wrote a review.
Oh. Coming in hot in these iTunes reviews.
Oh, my God. And for those of you who don't know who he is, he is one of our Whack Packers, the president of our Whack Pack, the Bean team, and he will make you laugh.
He puts Pop Rocks in his rectum.
Yeah, he will make you laugh, and frequently you'll hear him singing on our morning after show as well. So check out morning after show and write out your own little review, and we will read your reviews on all our shows.
And as always, if you want to help our show, please share this with a friend. That's the only way we can grow our community.
And subscribe so you don't miss out on these shows.
It really helps us out. All right. On that note, I think we got to launch into this one.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers on the tree and the trees and being cheated on by these bees.
Okay, so
that was the worst one.
I honestly think in the 4 years we've done this, that was by far the worst one you've ever done.
It was.
There was no rhyme. You lost the melody. You completely, there was
botched.
Not the right amount of syllables.
I know. And I didn't even have anything to say. I was trying to figure out cheating. And
somehow
you
mentioned D's in there as
no,
if
I
cheating.
I didn't mention D's.
Yeah, you did.
No, I said
all right,
cheating.
Let's just get into the episode, okay?
The P's.
Let's get into the episode.
Okay.
Stay tuned. And we'd like to take a quick second to thank our sponsor, Open Fit.
It's easy to recommend OpenFit because I use it on a daily basis.
OpenFit is a simple streaming service that allows you to access fitness videos wherever you are.
And then you can have them streamed onto your TV, which is what I do.
Or you can put it on your laptop, your iPad,
your iPhone, or any phone. But I love it because I get to see David.
My mother is obsessed with one of their yoga instructors.
Yeah, he comes on, he's got no shirt.
I realized I did yoga next to you watching OpenFit yesterday. The whole time your eyes are glued to the screen.
I was.
This is a wonderful program. You actually get tremendous trainers and they have everything you need from like yoga classes to extend bar classes.
You know what I love though? You don't have to be a member of a gym. You can do it right in your living room.
Listen to that. I am a member of a gym. And it was more convenient just to use OpenFit. I didn't even go to the gym.
Exactly. And I do the same thing. If you're too lazy to go to your gym, you could do it in the privacy of your home.
Look at that.
OpenFit.com. It's awesome. Trust me. I love this program.
Okay. I need to tell them how to do this. All you got to do is text sex talk to 303030.
You will get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit.
That's sex talk, which is one word, to 303030.
You guys got to try this.
Christine, welcome to the show.
Hi, Cam. Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited to have you here.
Hi, Karen.
And welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm super excited, mainly because you're still younger than me, but you're as close to my age as we've gotten in months. So I'm very happy to have you on the show. You've got years of wise experience, and everyone's going to enjoy this so much.
I hope so.
I know so.
So will you tell us about like where you are at right now in terms of your relationships?
Okay, wow. We get right into it. This is exciting.
Cam doesn't beat around the bush, so
no, that's okay. You know, I've been in Los Angeles for 21 years, and I am dating somebody now, which is funny, because I don't talk much about my private life, you know, because it's been tumultuous, to say the least. But I am dating somebody. I like them. Yeah,
it's always good to like the person you're dating. I always say that's the number one thing.
So your current one-woman show is called Dear Alabama.
Yeah, Dear Alabama is my new show I've been writing, and now I'm honing it, and hopefully it'll be ready to go up at the end of the summer. Basically, it's 15 relationships that I've had in my life, and like a chapter, some are longer than others, about why each one didn't work out. And I'm not saying it's always on the man. Some of them were my fault, but it's usually on the man.
Of course.
I'm kidding. No, like things to avoid and why I was attracted. Like what was I doing there in the first place? It goes from like the relationship with my father to someone, my virginity was taken. I was raped in high school.
Oh my gosh.
And then my first husband who got another girl pregnant while we were married.
Oh my God. It sounds like such positive male role models.
Right, I was just constantly getting in the wrong place.
Why do you think that is?
Because my dad left when I was 15.
Why did he leave?
Because he was in love with his tennis partner.
No way.
Oh my God, we're as full, you just full mentioned circle on that, tennis.
Yeah.
So that's hilarious.
So were you close to your dad growing up?
I wasn't close to my dad growing up, not at all.
Was he older?
But then we reconnected when I was about 26. We reconnected, and then the final like 22 years of his life, we were very close.
Whoa.
And I was with him. I was with him when he passed. Yeah, I was right with him, and so we really had a great relationship as adults. But he also didn't like children. You know what I mean? And he would say it. I don't like kids. He liked adults. So it's not unusual
don't point
that
to
I
like. I don't love kids. I do
you
love
hate
kids.
Children, and you know you do.
I love kids. I literally live my life for kids. But I'm kind of like right now in a phase. I'm a little bit over it.
Mom,
right now.
So can you go into a restaurant?
I don't like kids throwing food all over the floor.
We literally have to go
screaming.
If she sees kids, she just will change tables until there are no kids.
I prefer
around.
Not to sit next to like especially like a 1 to 2 year old.
What happens on the plane? Like if you're
flying?
Oh
my God!
She complains the whole time.
They
about
kick your
the kids.
Seat. Yeah. Oh my God! Don't even start with. I had this religious guy with like 6 kids running all over the plane. I was ready to kill him.
If you can imagine, my dad when he turned 33. They had me, and that was his sixth child.
What is with the 6 kids? Are you Catholic?
So it was Catholic. So my mom was 30 when she had me. So my mom was 30 years old with 6 kids, 10 and under.
Oh my God.
And my dad was 33. So you think my dad wanted 6 kids at the age of 33? Cam, you want 6 kids?
No.
Wait,
no, thank you.
So this could have something to do with your ability not to want kids until you were 40.
Oh, I knew it. Yeah, I knew it.
Something
so hard.
To do with
I knew it. Yeah. You gotta wait.
Were you basically raised by your siblings?
No, I was raised by myself. Yeah.
You were? Whoa. Oh, yeah. That's kind of how.
Because they all left. Everybody left. You know what I mean? Everybody went off to college one at a time. And then my dad left. And then it was just me and my mom. So we went from 8 to 2.
Oh.
And, she was devastated, you know? So this was bad. It was really sad. I remember in high school, it was only my mom and my dad and I left, you know, in the house, and we're having dinner, ironically, comfort food. It was tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches. And all of a sudden, my mother whips out the phone bill from underneath her plate, and she starts waving it around in the air, and she says, "Jack, who do you know in the 935? Who are you calling? We don't know anybody in the 935. We're 443. And I looked at my dad, and I realized, like, just, I saw it in his eye.
Wow, I got shivers.
He had a girlfriend in the 935.
Oh, and you're sitting right there.
And he denied it for a second, and then he got up, and he walked to his closet, and he took out a coat, and then he took the keys, and he left the house. And then, like, that night, we had finished dinner. My mom washed the dishes. I went to bed. Nobody said anything. And then the next day, I come home from school, and I walk in the front door, and I see my dad's closet at the end of the hallway, and it's kind of open. And I walk back, and I open the door, and the closet is empty.
Oh.
There's nothing in the closet.
And how old were you?
I was 15. Oh. And at that point, my dad moved in with his tennis partner, and I didn't see him for 9 years.
Oh, jeez. My God.
Yeah.
And did you have any communication with him?
None.
Whoa.
So but that's this, when this the feeling damage of abandonment.
Yeah.
You know, they say, because I learned this totally. From social work school, that teenage years to go through a divorce is the hardest years mm-hmm. anyway, and yeah. let alone an abandonment like
yeah.
that.
It's terrible.
Just, I don't
and
know how
my dad,
you...
My mom came to my room and she said, "Honey, your dad left. He doesn't love us anymore.
Oh,
he just doesn't love us."
Oh.
Yeah. So everybody fucked up.
Everyone
no, seriously,
up.
The worst thing you could say to a kid, don't do that, is and it's your fault too.
Yeah. And then 2 months later, not even 2 months later, maybe like, oh no, it was actually right before that, I had been raped at a party.
Oh my God.
And so I had been raped at a party, and like 4 weeks later, my dad left. And it was just like, I just went reeling.
Can you talk about the rape? Is it?
Yeah, no, it happened. I wrote an article in the... I wrote an article in Huffington Post called Let's Talk About Rape, because I think people should talk about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And I was a kid, you know, I was 15, and I was at a party, and some kid that I had never even had a conversation with, in fact, he went to a different school, but he ended up at the party. The parents were out of town, and I just had seen him at like our swim club, and he was really good looking, and he was on the football team. And when I first went to the party, I was just with my friends, you know, and they had covered the washer and dryer with like a blanket, and there was Doritos and warm Stroh's beer and M&Ms, and my friends and I were goofing around, and they had like this weight room with mirrors, and they're playing Peter Frampton. And then these football players come. You know what I mean? The football players come, and then, you know, I just like, my eyes just went right to that guy.
Gaga.
You know? Right. I completely abandoned my friends, and my eyes went to that guy, and he comes over to me and he says, "Do you want to talk?" And of course I'm like completely flattered.
Wait, now, of course. How old were you?
I was 15. You have to understand, I didn't know what intercourse was. I didn't know.
You didn't have that talk with
your
parents.
My mother never gave me that talk. She didn't tell me what my period was. She didn't tell me. Nobody told me anything. Mm. So I think they thought that I would trickle down with the children or something.
Someone's going to tell them something.
Nobody told me anything. So anyway, he says, "Let's go upstairs." And then we go up to the first flight. And then we go up the second flight of stairs. And he leads me into this bedroom. And it was this girl's little brother's room, Joey Giuliano. And he was like 6 or 7. And of course, he's not there. And we start making out on this kid's bed, and it was like a car. The bedspread was
a car bed.
And the tires were
a car bed, by the way.
Oh my God. Hopefully
so
they don't
sad.
Have these stories.
I know, right? And then we're making
this, like,
out.
Sounds like Kavanaugh.
I know. Never talked to me. Never said anything. Never really talked. And then he's like pushing my pants down. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't get it. And I said, "I don't want to do this." And he was a lot bigger than me, you know, because I was
a football player, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he was bigger. He's 17. I was 15.
Ugh.
And I was like, I didn't even know what he was doing. And pushed, you know, kept pushing and pushing. But nobody's pants were off. They were just down. And then he's pushing and pushing. And he kept his mouth really on mine. And I couldn't, like, I remember shaking my head a little bit. But it all happened so
you were like
fast.
Stunned.
It happened so fast. And then he like finishes and just like jumps off me.
Oh.
And yeah. It wasn't like any kissing after that. Like, it wasn't like, how was that or something? You know, he just jumped off me. And that was alarming to me. Like, I think that was what happened, because it hurt, but I just wasn't even sure. And I remember he pulled on his pants and he goes booking down the steps and I am following him. I'm pulled on my shorts, pulled up my shorts, and I'm following him and he goes down the steps and he goes out the front door and he crosses through the lawn and I'm watching, I'm on the front step, I'm watching him go across the lawn and he gets in his car, which was a red convertible, but a really large car, like a Buick or a Chrysler. And the top was down because it was summertime and he drove away. And oh then,
what in it?
I know, but here's the thing, because I was a child.
Doesn't it sound like this Kavanaugh hearing?
But I was a child. It was so much like that, yeah, in a way. Well, in a way.
It's like almost sounds identical.
In a way that I go back into the house and I go into the living room of the house, one of the rooms that nobody ever goes in, like one of these living rooms nobody goes in. And I sat there in a chair and I could hear my friends downstairs and the party's still going on. And I could hear Peter Frampton, "Do You Feel Like I Do?" Mm. And everybody sounded exactly the same as they had sounded 15 minutes prior. But I'm sitting there by myself. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking Paul Eckstein is my boyfriend.
That's his name?
That was his name. And it is his name. He's a dentist in Florida.
Oh, my God.
And I know, I see him on Facebook.
You never called him out on this.
Okay, well, fast forward, I did in fact, but it was many years later. Anyway, but at that point, like I thought as a child, I thought, this is so exciting because now I'm going to be his girlfriend and he'll come to our prom and I'll go to his prom.
Yeah, I remember feeling that age. And he's going to call me.
Yeah, and we're going to go to this and he's going to meet my family.
Yeah, right, okay.
I think his birthday's in August or whatever, like your mind's going.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I never heard from him again. Of course. But I don't know this. And
so that's why you
I don't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's why
you I don't tell anybody. And I go upstairs to the bathroom anybody? And I'm bleeding. It was terrible.
Oh, my God.
It was fighting
sick. Why didn't you tell anyone, even a best friend or anything?
Because I know, right? I know. I remember that night, the girl that had the party, she said, "Did you and Paul Eckstein have sex? Did you have sex?" Or something like that. And I'm like, no, no, no. Like, why would you think that? I mean, I was sure because I was bleeding, but I was then so ashamed.
Yeah.
Like ashamed that happened. How did I let that happen? And it is true to an extent. Like, I'll tell my daughter, you can't be alone with a guy. You can't be alone with him. You don't want this to happen. Don't be alone with a guy when you're 13, 14, 15, 16. I mean, there's age appropriate times and there's age when it's not appropriate. So if somebody says you want to go upstairs and talk, no, you need to talk to me right here. Like, I had no strength. I had no power. I had no voice.
But I've done that at age 48.
You just went off?
With a guy, sure. People, we should be able to go off with any person and say no.
I hear what you're saying. You should be able to. But a better idea put yourself on the defense to begin with and don't go in there with him.
Yeah.
I'm talking especially as a child. Yeah. I'm not talking about adult dating. I'm talking about as a child.
It's the same with adults. We can easily...
Yeah, I know. But now I have more of a wherewithal.
Yeah, but Mom, she didn't even know what sex was at this point.
Right.
That poor
there's a big difference here. She doesn't even know what to prevent against because she didn't even know what it was.
And now I would call a lift. I'm out of here. Do you know what I mean?
There's so many different... I mean...
Yeah, I was a child. That's the main thing. And he knew it, you know. And so... But if you want to fast forward real quick, 6 years later, when I was 21... I was going to a school in Pittsburgh called Duquesne University. I was a senior. And he was in that guy I knew because his father had been a dentist or was a dentist, is a dentist, I don't know. And he was going in his father's footsteps and going to the University of Pittsburgh to the dental school. And I'm in a bar with my friend and it's packed. A bar in Oakland, in Pittsburgh. It's called Calico's. In fact, I used to waitress there at one point. Anyway, and I'm there with my friend Gidget. Yes, her name was Gidget.
God.
And I see him across the bar and I'm like, holy shit, that's the guy who raped me, I say to my friend. And so we go down to the bathroom together and we plot it out like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, and I'm 21 and I say, you just stay with me, Gidget. You stay with me. So we go back upstairs into the bar and I go right up to him and I said, hey, you remember me? And he looks at me and he goes, oh yeah, man, you went to Richland High School. Oh yeah, how are you? And I reached back and I punched him right in the face, like with my fist, which I never done in my life. And then the whole bar was like, whoa. whoa, and everything's spread out. Like, and this guy, he goes, you know, kind of reeling back. And then people were like, hey, 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 get her. And we like ran, me and my friend Gidget. I'm like, come on. And we ran out of the bar and ran down Forbes Avenue. And I felt a little bit better.
I'm very proud of you.
I did.
A little bit. But I did. I want to know something. When was the moment that you realized that you were raped?
No, I knew it when the pain. I knew when he...
But you said you got into my about all these different things. When did you realize that what he did?
I knew it. I knew it after he did it. I knew it because of the pain. I knew that that was sex. And when he jumped off me so quickly, I remember thinking that's rape. So the pain was the sex that I hadn't known was coming. And after that, the fact that he jumped and ran away, then my alarm went off. He did something wrong. Oh,
so then why did
you... I mean, it was all wrong. But
you had this other fantasy of this...
Yeah, I thought, well, that's just the way it is. Yeah. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So now I'm his girlfriend.
When did you realize, like a couple years later, that what he did was so wrong and you should have, if you had known, reported it?
Okay, when Bill Cosby started, when his when all his stuff started. So this was about 5 years ago, not that long ago. I wrote an article in the Huffington Post called Let's Talk About Rape. It's the first time I had talked about it. And I really, I don't even know if I would have come forward then, but the bravery of the women that did come forward against Cosby. I remember that made me so sick to my stomach. And part of it was probably my own pain, but just the fact that somebody could take advantage of somebody like that, you know, so purposefully slip something in their drink. I mean, it's like so first degree, you know, rape.
But this anyway, thing and so must then have I started thinking you earlier. This it must have affected you even earlier than that.
Like, no, it affected me. I'm just saying I didn't talk about it. I didn't bring it up for 30 years.
Wow.
More than 30 years.
Your husbands and
I remember mothers. I would tell people, but it would always be like in a very LD on the LD, you know, like but I never like really talked about it.
Has your relation to it changed since talking about it?
Yeah, because now I have a daughter. You know, and now it's like the sex talk is ongoing and it doesn't stop. And so we keep talking about nobody touches you. You know what I mean? We talk about things that are appropriate, things that are not appropriate.
Right.
And so it's just, you know, I can use my words. My mother didn't have those tools, I don't think, you know.
But are you also giving her the upside of it?
Like, no, she just sees this.
She's like, I'm never having sex ever.
Well, she sees me dating stuff, you know, which is good because I've been divorced for like over 7 years and she's seen me date four different people. And when something ends, she sees I'm sad and I'll say, see, Alabama, this is sadness and I'm really sad right now and this is grief, but I'll get better and I'll come out of it. So sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're not, you know, and the only thing we really know for sure is whatever you're going through is going to change because everything changes.
Sure. And change usually is good.
Usually.
Well, what about this process of processing what,
I don't know.
That rape.
That's kind of what I was asking about. Exactly. Like,
was there any formal process or was it just time that ended up changing your perspective?
Or did you go to therapy?
Well, I've been in therapy on and off for years. That was obviously a really bad moment in my life. But then when my father left just after that, you know, it was just kind of a double whammy. And really knocked me down.
There's like two abandonments.
Yeah,
like, right,
exactly. So then you just go for approval. Right. So then you just get a lot of boyfriends.
Oh, interesting.
So when you married your two husbands, did you know?
I didn't at the first time. I didn't at one time. It wasn't like a polygamous thing. It was
each time. Did you know when you were like standing at the altar that this was the wrong thing? Or
I knew the first one. I knew. I knew at my wedding shower when I was 25. I knew it was wrong. I knew it at my wedding shower. Isn't that funny? But sometimes when you're engaged, it's easier just to go through the marriage and get divorced than it is to break up.
Yeah.
This is what we hear all the time.
I hear this. Oh, I always ask the same question and they always say what you did.
Because like, if you break up, then you didn't go the whole length. You know what I mean? You never really know how it would have worked out because you didn't take it as far as marriage. But if you get married and then divorce, it's more definitive, I think.
Oh, okay.
And also, you know, people are weak, man. I mean, I know I've been weak. You know, you think you can't return the presents. You already bought a dress. The caterer's already been scheduled.
Yeah.
You put down a $1,500 deposit.
It's embarrassing.
You failed. you know, people think so, and I try to tell my daughter this, people you think like everything is all about you and that what happens to you and what you go through, like people actually care, where it turns out nobody gives a shit.
Except you.
Because they're just thinking about themselves.
Right. Mm.
Everybody's really in this.
That's
on their
own. Very good message to give everyone, especially like even kids when they're going through rejection from friendship groups in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. You know, like it does seem like the weight on your world, but trust me.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
And everybody's going through those same things.
Same thing. Yeah. And so you can disperse the anxiety about it, I think.
Do you see it as a mistake you made, or are you happy about that experience?
Wait, which one?
I guess the first marriage.
No, I'm told it was a complete mistake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
you wish
really
it would
upsetting.
Never have
oh, God, yeah, I wish I'd never married him.
Oh, wow.
He was a terrible person. And he's now a Trump supporter. So there you go. I mean, you know.
Say no more.
No, but I mean, yeah, I mean, he, you know, I was a kid. I was 19 when I met him, and he was 32.
So you were.
Oh, so wow. Right there.
You're kind of like armchair psychiatry would say, you're looking for another daddy.
Of course.
Yeah.
I did that over and over and over again.
Ah.
And you see what a 19-year-old would see in a 32-year-old, because there's like money, independence, a sophistication, yeah, et cetera. But what does a 32-year-old see in a teenager?
Mm.
There's only one thing they see, and it's gross. I always feel that way when people aren't at their equal level, not necessarily as older people, but I mean, like, yeah, under the age of 30, you know,
no,
what I mean?
Under the age of 25, their brain isn't even formed.
Yeah, you got to stick to somebody at your level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Your age.
Yeah. So I want to, before we move on from, because I know that we've received a lot of questions from trauma survivors and people who have been raped who we haven't really talked about it enough on this show, I think.
Yeah.
So for those, for people who maybe might be even still in the process of going through the repercussions, yeah, and like the fallout, do you have anything to,
it doesn't end. Like, you'll always think about it. Sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks because it's like your power, you know, you had your power taken away. You'll never forget about it. You'll never stop thinking about it. So you got to settle in to being uncomfortable.
Wouldn't you recommend telling somebody?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to talk about it at some point. But I mean, it's so personal. I could never tell somebody what they should do. I mean, it's so personal.
Well, especially when you didn't get any kind of sex ed from your mom or dad or anybody.
Right.
No, or even your siblings.
Right.
Or,
no,
or,
I didn't
or
know
your
anything.
Friends.
My one sister told me that a hot dog goes in your buns or something.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, I didn't know anything.
You're like looking for a hot dog. Any street vendor is like, I might get pregnant.
It's so
yeah,
sad.
Sex ed when we were growing up was pretty abysmal.
It was abysmal.
It was terrible.
It was like one book.
I remember thinking, like, when you get your period, you have to wear these special underwear for the rest of your life. These
yeah.
big granny underpants for the rest
yeah.
of your life with pads in it just in case you get your period. And I'm thinking, that sucks to wear that all the time.
I remember thinking that boys defecate through their penis.
Oh, my God.
Like, I didn't even know they had
no way.
A butthole. No, I didn't know that.
And they don't? Cam, do you defecate?
So I don't know
penis?
If anybody, you know, obviously defecate. Anybody's listening out there who's been raped or, any, you know, even, you know, obviously, you don't have to go as far as rape. I mean, just somebody's gone too far and you didn't want them to, you know, I mean, it's all an invasion of your space and your body. So
you have the power to get up and run.
Yeah.
I mean, or, you know,
yeah.
Or
oh,
scream.
If you're in the
something.
Moment, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Of course, don't feel bad. Don't think you're going to be upsetting anybody, waking anybody up. You're going to get in trouble. I mean, scream bloody murder. I think now, had I told anybody, that would have been like, all over the school, and they might not have even believed me. I mean, it really would yeah. have been a huge deal.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't tell anybody, you know, because
yeah.
it would have been massive. In my small town, that would have been a big deal, me accusing somebody. The girl herself having that party, that of course she wasn't supposed to be having a party.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
fact that there was alcohol
Were
there.
Were you
the
drinking that at that time?
I wasn't drinking. But the fact that any of it was taking place,
yeah.
you know what I mean? So it wouldn't have been just me. It would have been, there's 30 kids at the party. Everybody's in trouble. The cops are here. And why is that? Because Christine Blackburn went upstairs
You're
with
right.
this guy and she
and
should have done that.
And that's a big reason not to tell anybody for
right.
when we were
so,
growing
I
up
mean,
especially it was not as pro the victim as it was as it is now, I think.
Well, we're just getting more empowered. I guess I'm just saying it depends on who's listening and what their situation is. It's all very personal. It's all very personal. But, you know, obviously preventing being alone with somebody to begin with is a start.
And you can still stop. I mean, I remember times, even, you know, in the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years when it, before my boyfriend, where I'd be with a guy and I didn't really feel like having sex, but we're almost there. And I'm like, okay, why not? So
just get it over with.
Just do it.
At any time, and you can say, you know what? I'm not into this anymore. Right. And just jump up. And what's the worst thing they're going to say? If they say anything that isn't, okay, no worries. If they say anything besides that, then get them the fuck out of your sight. I mean, don't see them anymore.
I remember a guy when I was still a virgin, I was messing around with him in his fraternity house. And this guy, Bob, I went all the way. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to, we can't have sex. And he was getting so angry. I'm like, listen, I'm a virgin. And he said to me, you know what? It's a good thing you told me that. Otherwise, I probably would have like raped you. He said that to me.
Oh my God.
Wow.
He would have raped me if I hadn't told him I was a virgin.
Wow.
What a nut.
Well, he's a nut.
I wanted to ask, so you said something about how after going through both of that 1-2 punch,
yeah,
you start filling the void by dating all these other men.
Yeah, sure.
How did you break that habit?
It's so funny because then I got, you know, I married my first husband, but we moved in together when I was like 21 and we were together till I was 26. It was like a 5-year deal. And while I was married, I was quite happy. And, you know, I loved being like married, a partner.
But he was so much older?
I know. It was gross.
But
just 12 years older.
Where
but
did you meet
a
him?
Lot.
It went that
he
age.
He was a musician.
Right.
Okay. There you go. A musician at the college I went to. Stupid. So stupid.
No. That's really hot, usually.
Ay, ay, ay.
It is. I mean, like, if you want to get women, just join a band.
Yeah. Learn to play guitar.
Yeah.
It always helps.
Yeah.
Not just women and getting the other opposite sex, but really, if you want friends in general, whoever's playing the guitar has the most friends, or at least there's people around. You know what I mean?
The lead singer too.
Yeah, that helps.
Roger Daltrey.
But anyway, so I was with him for like 5 years total, and then when we split, I started the pattern all over again, and I dated a lot more guys. So
did it ever end?
It ended because I went to the Peace Corps because I was dating a lot of different people, and I was just like. I was a flight attendant at the time, so I'm flying all over the country, all over the world, and I'm dating, and I've got like 3 boyfriends in different states,
oh my God.
And I'm like, it's all fun, don't get me wrong, a lot of vacations, a lot of everything, but I was just like, this world is getting crazy. I mean, it was too much, and I quit everything and went to the Peace Corps. And
that's a huge switch.
The huge switch, yeah. And then I stopped that rampant dating because I wasn't in the States anymore.
But, okay, the way you told the story was so vivid in my mind, even the comfort food. I'm thinking to myself, do you still feel like grilled cheese and tomato soup is comforting?
Yeah, don't you?
But after, that was when you...
Well, yeah, but that was just one moment in time. I mean, you know, I'm not going to hold my dad leaving against grilled cheese or something.
Campbell's tomato soup. God, I was thinking, how? You could never eat that stuff again.
No, I don't think that's true.
Tell us a little bit about the art of storytelling, because I think like it's so interesting the way you described it. I could actually picture myself there.
Yeah. It takes a lot of time to craft a really good story. But the exciting thing is anybody can do it. And everybody has a story, whether you think you do or not. And I always tell people when I talk about storytelling is the first thing you do when you tell a story is talk to somebody you know very well. So your sibling, your mom, somebody you know very well or a very good friend. And, you know, if you're really serious about this and you're going to actually, you know, say, okay, I would like to craft a story. Well, then right off the bat, you have to tape every single time you tell it, which is a pain in the ass. You know, I mean, just a voice memo on your phone. It's not hard to tape. I don't mean that. But afterward, you're going to need to go through that, and that's the hard part. But let's just say you sit down and just in your regular voice, you know, so no big motion, no big emotions, no big characters. You're not running around telling the story. You're just talking across the table from somebody. And so you hit the voice memo on, and then you start telling your friend or your somebody the story. And when the light in their eyes change, that's where you start the story.
Whoa.
So the whole, all that ramp up that you did, you know, fuck it all, man. You need very little ramp up to get to the point. Because people aren't going to be on the page with you. Like I
actually saw that in your eyes when I know exactly what you're talking about. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, she's actually tuned in now.
Yeah.
But when you're telling somebody,
I'm telling you, when you're talking about a story, it's okay. It's like if you read a book and you say, how was the book? And you say, oh, it was pretty good. The first 40 pages were slow, but then it picks up.
Yeah.
You know when they start when they should have started that book. They should have started that book at page 40.
Yeah.
So first, right off the bat, you know, so you start telling your story to somebody and you're taping it and listen back and you'll find yourself, it'll be way too long for sure. It'll be way too long. And try to remember when the person across from you kind of zones out and when they mm-hmm. tune in and when they zone out and when they tune in. And
what do you do? Do you take notes? Oh,
well, you write it all out. So now you've got your tape in your hand and you write out the story word for word. And you're going to hate everything. You're going to hate every single thing about it. That's
so you
just
do
the
word
way it goes.
For word. You don't do bullet points.
No, you write the whole story out. What you just told your loved one that you're sitting with. Mm-hmm. You write that out now. So we've had it on video. We have it on a voice memo. Now we have it on the page. Mm-hmm. Then you on your own, go back through that story and just start taking out. And you'll be able to take out a lot right off the bat because there'll be redundancies and mm-hmm. there'll be stutter steps and stuff like that. So now your story has already gotten to tighten. It's already tightening. Mm. And then tell that story again to somebody else that hasn't heard it before. So it's very repetitive telling the same story to different people in your circle. So that's the first thing I tell people to do. You know, when you're telling a story to somebody, you have to remember who your audience is. So the way you tell it to your mom or to your best friend or your spouse may not be the way you would tell it in front of a group at the improv.
Hmm. Well, especially if there's sex involved.
Yeah. I mean, who are you talking about? And you just have to remember that, like, when somebody is listening to your story, they're actually giving you their time.
Hmm.
And you don't want to waste anybody's time.
Hmm.
So you can cut away a lot. You want to keep it as tight as you possibly can. When you relate your own experience to somebody, it'll trigger a reaction in them, like I was saying. And so then all of a sudden they're with you and now they're going to give you some of their empathy. And that's a key factor in figuring out what stories to tell. You want it to be important. It has to be personal to you. There has to be like a change in you. So from the beginning of the story, you know, I was telling you the story about being raped. I was a 15-year-old girl. I knew nothing. And then I go through this. And at the end of the story, I punch him in the face.
Mm.
So there was a beginning.
Love that story. By
and then there's
I love
an ending.
The ending.
What well, if and was... it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if there was no ending?
Well, there is an ending that I might be still struggling with it, yeah. You know, getting through it. Or I'm still cycling, like going through relationships in my life that amplify being abandoned over and over and over again. You also, you know, there's a lot of... a lot of little notes. You know, when you're telling a story, you might want to give somebody a voice. And I don't mean like a wacky, crazy voice, but you might want to say, then he said, do you want to come upstairs? Mm. Do you want to come and talk? Do you want to come upstairs and talk? Like I said, you know.
So you try to remember the, or you try to.
Oh, you just want to use, you know, you just want to say, and then he says to me, do you want to go upstairs and talk?
Right. As opposed to saying, and then we went upstairs.
Yes. So you want to be more in the moment, not, you know, you want to not be so much in the past, but keep it in the present tense. And then right after the climax of the story, when the crux of what you're telling, whatever that moment is, right after that climax, you need to wrap it up in about a minute.
Really?
Yeah. You want to climax the story and then we're done. It's so, very much like an
sex.
Orgasm.
It just reminds me of an orgasm.
There's a lot of buildup.
A lot of buildup.
Climax, and then we're done.
Boom.
And get out.
Well, so what would be, the climax of this story is you went back and you punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, well, I think the climax was the fact that I got raped at all. I mean, I think.
You had a double climax.
As it
were. You're multi-orgasmic.
As it were.
Multi-orgasmic.
And so you just really have to repeat the steps again and again. You tell the story, you write it out, you edit the story. You tell the story, always taping it, writing it back out, and now you're hating yourself because you don't want to keep writing it out, but you have to. Or go back. Like I use Google Docs and I just write it. So whatever the name of the story is, right? So if it's the rape, I'd write it out and then I would put draft, you know, whatever the date is. So there's always new drafts coming because all stories are works of art and they change and things move around. You have to find your voice. And then in terms of like, again, if you're actually like performing a story, that's different too. You know,
sure.
How many people are in the audience? You have to take a minute before you start speaking. You get on stage, they're not even listening for 30 seconds because they're looking at you. You have to drink a lot of water on stage. Do you want to drink water? No, but do it anyway.
For
because
pause?
The audience, No, they just need a break. The audience just needs a second to settle in. It's like stand-up comedy. I'm not a great stand-up comedian, but in what I've learned is it's like a boxing match, right? So you punch them, you back off. Oh. You punch them, you back off. And it's always, you know, the comedian or the storyteller is the one releasing that tension.
Mm.
And you got to let it calm back down.
So they need to absorb back. It.
Voop, voop. Yeah, you, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And of course, you know, you can use notes. You can use notes in a story, but you don't want to rely on notes, because if you rely on your notes, then are you with me telling the story, or are you reading a story from your book? Well, both can be good. Both can be good, exactly. But it's a different genre.
Well, when I asked you before I went on your show, I had listened to a number of different storytellers, and some of them you could actually hear them reading it off of paper.
Yeah, you don't want to sound like you're reading.
Yeah, and I wanted to know which one do you prefer, and you're like, whatever you want, kid.
Yeah, yeah. And if you, you know, you get messed up, you get frozen, you don't know what to say next, you get lost, just take a breath, take that drink of water. So really, already at this point, nobody, you have not missed a beat. Nobody's wondering like, oh, she froze. Because you're just taking a second and having a drink of water. And then you come back from that second, and if you're still messed up, you look at the audience. You be in the moment and you say, okay, wait a minute. What did I miss? Okay, I just told you this and that. Okay, here I am.
Or someone will shout out.
And nobody in the world is going to be like, you motherfucker, you messed up. You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares.
I do.
They want to stay. Kidding. They want to stay in the moment with you. And then just a couple of pitfalls that people make often is they overshare. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Too much information.
Yeah, we know that on this podcast.
Too much information. Or they start telling somebody else's story. So don't tell me about your sister's abortion. It's not your story. Mm. It's her story.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about whatever. Tell me what changes your life. And then, of course, you know, be passionate. Be passionate. Don't tell a story that doesn't matter. It has to mean something. Mm. Or why are you telling me this?
Yeah.
You know what's a really boring story? When people tell you about how they were on drugs. I don't care. I wasn't there. I don't get it. And it wasn't funny to me. Do you know what I mean?
All right.
Oh my God, we were so fucked up. Did this, and then we took these mushrooms, and then we did this. And I'm like,
take notes, Cam. No drug stories.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unless it's like a rehab story, you know, of something more personal. But if it's just like, we had so much fun, man. It was so much fun. Quit telling me and show me.
So, Christine, we have to wrap it up, unfortunately.
I know, it's sad.
I know.
So bummed. We didn't even get to
so fun.
Half of what was on our agenda.
Fun. Thank you, guys.
So
you're doing good work here, both of
thank you.
Thank you. Really.
We're trying.
And you're doing good work. I appreciate you sharing all those tips with us.
Yeah. Trying, well, the reason I wanted to know those tips is because people in everyday life are probably not going to get up and share stories on stage. But they do. There's always a first date that you want to tell a good story to get the person to understand who you are.
Yeah.
And would that apply there? Can you?
Of course. What do you mean? As a topic?
All of these tips can
definitely. Listen, everybody has a story.
But I think people do, if they have reason to tell a story, like you gave good reasons for why you tell that story.
Yeah.
Well, they need to know how to do that. Because a lot of people, you assume they know how to speak, but they don't.
Well, like what I said, you just go and you tell it on a very personal level to somebody across the table. Write it down and start refining it. But it takes a long time.
Well, I want, if people wanted to hear Storyworthy or your other podcasts.
Yeah. You know, if you go to ChristineBlackburn.com, then everything is kind of right there. I have a show called Screwed Up Stories with Westwood One, and that's a great podcast with comedian Rachel O'Brien, and then StoryworthyPodcast.com. So everything is at ChristineBlackburn.com.
I've listened. I could not endorse this more. Definitely
thanks.
Check it out.
Oh,
thanks,
yeah.
Man.
And I'm still curious about, you know, how the moment you came together with your father again, how you reestablished that relationship.
Yeah.
Are you willing to stick with us for a Patreon bonus episode
for
about 10 minutes?
Really sure. Call.
Okay. So listeners, if you want to hear more from Christine, check out patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
That's a good call.
And
also just listen to Storyworthy in general. You'll hear my episode coming up soon.
That's right. Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Thank you.